Our scripture is the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness as told by Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. The immediate context is that Jesus has just been baptized by John. Jesus comes up out of the water. God's voice says, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And then right after that, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward, Jesus was famished. The tempter came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only God.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all hearts here, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one of the favorite family movies in the Skilling-Ranney household is Secondhand Lions. Is anybody else? So Rick's seen it. So Dale's seen it. A couple of people have seen this movie. It is a heartwarming film about a young boy, Walter, 14 years old, about, who is sent to live with his eccentric great uncles in a ramshackle farm in Texas. The aging brothers are rumored to have a fortune hidden somewhere on the farm from their days in the Foreign Legion. And it attracts every traveling salesman into the district to their house to try to sell them something. And one of the ways that the brothers entertain themselves is to spend their days sitting out on their front porch with their shotguns across their lap. And any time a traveling salesman drives up, they shoot at him. After watching this play out a couple times, Walter, the boy, convinces them to at least hear what the salesman has to say and to spend some of their money on items that might provide them with a source of entertainment beyond simply terrorizing traveling salesmen. They agree, but these purchases often end up with less than hoped for results. Like the seeds they purchase so that they can plant a vegetable garden. They buy the seeds. They prepare to plant the garden. They all get dressed up in their new matching overalls because, you know, if you're going to act like a farmer, you need to look like a farmer. And they till the land, they furrow the soil, they plant the seeds carefully in neat rows, taking the empty seed packets, putting them on stakes at the end of each row so that they will know what is going to grow in each place, you know. This is the tomatoes, these are the beans, here's the lettuce. However, as the seeds begin to sprout and grow, they begin to suspect that there may be a problem. All the plants in all the rows look suspiciously alike. And it soon becomes apparent that they have been taken by this salesman. And that rather than selling them a variety of seeds for a full variety of vegetables in their garden, all the seeds are for corn. And so they end up with a bumper crop of corn and eat corn morning, noon, and night for weeks. Because no matter what they intended to grow, the seed that was planted is what determined the crop. They may have thought that they were actually planting a variety of vegetables, but since all that they actually planted was corn, corn was all they grew. The scene came to my mind as I was thinking about today's passage and our wilderness image for today of seeds. The traditional story offered by the lectionary for us to begin Lent is this story of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record a version of it. This is Matthew's turn this year. Jesus, still dripping wet from his baptism and glowing in God's affirmation, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am pleased," is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's a remarkable statement. God is well pleased with Jesus. Jesus is God's beloved. And so he gets led into the wilderness. And why are we told that he is led into the wilderness? Did you catch this? He is led by the Spirit into the wilderness so that he may be tempted by the devil. Honestly, with friends like God, who needs enemies? But there is a method to God's madness, as there usually is, because the wilderness is the place where the people of God traditionally go to prepare themselves to take up a new chapter in their life, to come to a new understanding of who God is and who God is calling them to be. Likewise, once in the wilderness, Jesus fasts for 40 days, the traditional length of time allotted for such wrestling and transition. Noah and company endured 40 days of rain. Moses and people wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Elijah fasted 40 days before recognizing God in the sound of sheer silence. And now Jesus spends 40 days in prayer and preparation that culminates with this showdown with the devil. And the question on the table seems to be, what kind of son of God is he going to be? For while who Jesus is has been made clear as he rose from the waters of baptism, Jesus still has to decide how he will live out that identity. He is standing at the start of his public ministry, and he has to decide what seed is he going to plant. What will be the focus of his work? What does he want to accomplish? And more importantly, what is the most faithful and obedient path toward that goal? The choices he makes at the start will determine not only his end point, but his path in between. So he needs to pick his seed carefully, because there is this unscrupulous salesman who's trying to pass off corn as vegetable seeds to him. Not that corn is a bad thing, it's just not what was needed, or at least not the only thing that was needed, which is at least part of the point. None of the things with which Jesus is tempted are bad in and of themselves, are they? It's just that they will produce not lettuce and beans and tomatoes. I don't know about you, but when I think of temptations, my mind tends to go towards things that are evil and destructive. You know, addiction, infidelity, dishonesty, cruelty. That's what I think about when I hear the word temptation. But that isn't the case here. Satan doesn't seek to attack, assault, or abuse Jesus. Jesus is not being asked to do anything evil, but rather he is being offered things that are basically good, just not in the right way, not exactly the right seed. The tempter offers Jesus the gift of bread. Bread is clearly a good thing, necessary for life. It represents the most basic of human needs. And Jesus is hungry. The word actually that they use is famished. No kidding, he's been fasting for 40 days. He needs food, and he needs it right then and right there. But the question is, how will Jesus obtain it? Will he plant a seed that will allow him to use his power for his own benefit, changing stones into bread to feed himself and perhaps the world, or will he wait and trust in God's provision? Next, Jesus is offered a crop of instant results. He will spend the next 3 years walking hundreds of miles, teaching, healing, praying, and in the end, only a handful will have had the chance to hear his message, and even fewer will have adopted it. So Satan offers him a fast track to stardom. Throw yourself down off of the tower, and everyone will notice and follow you. For who could fail to believe in you and your ministry after you are caught by angels and gently lowered down to safety? Who could fail to be attracted to such a religious movement? And finally, Jesus is offered the chance to grow unlimited political power. If Jesus will just pay homage to Satan one time, just plant one little seed, he can have the power over all the kingdoms of the world. This is not an offer to satisfy Jesus' greed or some selfish desire for power. This is the ability for him to get things done, to change the system, to take on the powers of the world and make them more just. It would give him what he needs to translate his vision into reality. See, none of the temptations are bad things in and of themselves, and they all promise to produce the desired crops, feeding the hungry, showing forth the power of God, setting things right. They are all part of what Jesus came to earth to accomplish, and they are all things that he will accomplish in one way or another. He will feed the multitudes. He will be raised from the dead. He will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The temptation comes at the point when Jesus is faced with the question of how he will accomplish these things. Will he take matters into his own hands, or will he trust God's way? What seed will he plant that will bring forth the results God desires for him in the time and way that God desires them to come? Of course, in the end, we know he chooses to plant the seeds of trust and obedience provided to him by God, and not the easy corn answers and quick results offered by the devil. But the seed he sows in the wilderness will demand a lot from him. He will have to continually tend and water and weed it as he journeys forward in God's time, following God's path, trusting the final results to God. Today, we too are being led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into this season called Lent. We too are invited to consider what seed we are called to plant. What does God want to grow in and through our lives in the next 6 weeks? When Easter arrives, what crop will God have produced in us? Jesus chose his seed carefully. He said no to some things and yes to others. Jesus said no to expectations that were being laid on him. Notice how each of the temptations start. If you are the Son of God, the devil says it over and over. And then, if you are the Son of God, then make bread. Take the shortcut. Grab for power. But that's not the seed that would lead to the crop that God wanted to grow in and through Jesus. And so Jesus says no. Maybe as you consider what seed God wants to plant in you this Lent, you may need to say no to something. Maybe you will fast from a food or from screen time or caffeine. Maybe you will turn away from a destructive habit or even a favorite person or activity that is taking up too much of your time and focus. Maybe you will say no to resentment, no to perfectionism, no to pride, or no to worry. Maybe the seed you are called to plant will require you to turn away, to deny yourself, and say no to expectations that are being laid on you by others or by yourself. Or perhaps the seed you are called to sow in your soil requires a yes. Jesus had to say yes to things as well that day, and so do we. Yes, I will begin my day each day centering myself in God's presence. Yes, I will end each day reflecting on where I experienced God, where I was faithful, and where I failed. Yes, I will help that person. Yes, I will give. Yes, I will dare. Yes, I will step out in faith. Yes, I will go deep. Yes, I will reach out wide. Yes, I will speak out. In your bulletin is a small square with a picture of a seed. I invite you to take hold of that seed right now. And I'm going to give you a couple of moments of silence to reflect and listen for God's leading. What does God want you to plant as you begin your journey to Easter this year? What does God hope to grow in and through you in the next 40 days? And what is one thing that you can say no or yes to? Just one thing, one small seed that will help move you toward that desired outcome. And when you have a sense of what that is, what that seed, that small beginning is, write it down on the card. You can put it in the seed, around the seed, whatever. You can use a word, just one word. You can write a prayer. You can draw a symbol. Whatever expresses, this is just between you and God. They're literally going to get buried in dirt after today. So fill out that card. And in a few moments when we come forward for communion, you will be invited to plant your card in the soil, in the planter, and then come to either side to receive communion, to receive nourishment and strength for that growth, for that journey. Let us pray. Lord, we stand at the beginning of Lent, and like a farmer, we are choosing what seed we will plant that will produce the best harvest for us. Growing things in the wilderness is not easy. And there are lots of seed that promises, but that delivers little. Help us to follow your leading, planting the best in our lives and your world. Lead us to the seed that grows faith, compassion, and discipleship in each of us. Amen.